Welcome to the church that gathers here locally at Bethel. My name is Josh, and I get to bring the word of Christ with you and for you and to you today. Let me just, by way of introduction, remind you why you are here. First, if you are not new, then you gather every week because we believe that we don't gather for a person or a performance, an individual. We gather because of Jesus Christ, the gospel, Jesus in our place. And if you are new here, whether you're watching online, whether you're watching from the VIP balcony, as we call it, or you're new on the ground floor, just know we're thankful you're here because we know the Bible says every time we gather in his name, he is with us also. So we believe that God's going to do something holy and beautiful in your life today because you have opened your life up to the spiritual endeavors of the Spirit. So welcome. Today I will be reading and preaching from an entire book of the Bible, the book of 2 John. So if you don't know where 2 John is and it's difficult to find, go ahead and find that now. It's after 1 John, and it might surprise you, but it's before 3 John. So if you can find either of those, it's somewhere in there. The book of 2 John. And if your heart is already troubled, just know the entire book of 2 John is only 13 verses. And it's amazing that the Bible, God's living, inspired word, always hits us where we need. Because the book of 2 John is about love and truth, not separately, but together. And I believe we live in a world that is starving, it's dry, and it's thirsty, longing for the gospel. Our world is starving for truth, but it's also starving for love, and without them, it will waste away. You will waste away without truth in your life and without love in your life. Now let me pause, because the Bible always hits us where we need. Truth without love is like a hammer, banging away, one day destroying things. Because you shouldn't use a hammer to fix everything in your home. It is useful, but not for everything. And so some of you would say, well, Pastor, that's why I just love. Love without truth is like a fog clouding the path and will only lead to ruin in your life. But here's the wonder of the gospel. Grace does not stand still. In Jesus Christ, we have a man full of truth, full of love at the same time. In Jesus Christ, grace puts on its shoes. Grace walks into our brokenness where love takes action and truth lights our path. So as we read the book of 2 John, I simply ask you this question. What places in your life need grace today? Maybe that's places you need truth. You're walking on eggshells around things that you know the Bible is clear. And yet in the name of love, you're unwilling to have difficult conversations or obey in difficult ways. And what ways does the gospel of love need to speak into your life? Where you are walking around like a hammer, trying to remove splinters and specks from people's eyes, when it's the love of Christ and the delicacy that he brings that you need. When grace wears shoes, truth and love together. Well, let's read the entire book of the Bible, 2 John. And I know that many of us, I've never preached through 2 John, many of you have never read 2 John in your life. So I get the privilege of reading this with you maybe for the first time. The book of 2 John, the elder to the elect lady and her children. That's a poetic way of saying to the church and those who gather, to the lady Bethel and those who gather in her location, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth that remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God, the Father, and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth, and don't forget, love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in the truth. And in keeping with the command we have received from the Father. So now I ask you, dear lady, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commands. That's another way of saying truth. This is the command you have heard from the beginning, that you walk in love. Now be careful, because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's the truth, by the way. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching, that's the truth, but goes beyond, does not have God. The one who remains in the teaching, that's truth, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home. Don't greet him, for the one who greets him shares in evil works. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to use pen and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this small little book. Father, some people might call 2 John insignificant, but you don't. Some people might gloss over 2 John, but you don't. And Father, we praise your name as people living among a community in a world that is starving for truth in love, that in your sovereign grace you have reminded us today that it is possible in Christ to have truth and love walk hand in hand. So Lord, we ask that in our lives grace would put on shoes, truth that speaks to our need, but love who helps us pick up the pieces. Love that meets us when we are living in shame, but truth that says the difficult things that we might not walk into ruin. Father, thank you that in Jesus Christ, God took on flesh and grace put on shoes. Lord, today, may you meet us in our moment of need. And may we see you. May we know you, and may we live for you like never before. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I learn by asking questions, and so I'm going to ask us a question. I believe two important questions. When I say that grace and truth can walk hand in hand, and truth and love can walk together, we should ask, well, what is love? And we should also ask, and what is truth? And so we're going to begin with the love question. What is love? John actually speaks to this in verse 6. He says, hey, this is actually love. You don't get to define it. God defines it. This is love. Not that we define it on our terms, that we walk according to his commands. Now, if you were to ask sociologists today, and I've done so, looking at sociological polls. What is love? This is a synthesis of sociological definitions. Love is, according to our world, freely chosen. It's not demanded. It's free. It's an emotionally close relationship that blends intimacy, passion, and commitment. It's expected to bring personal happiness and stability, to honor each other's independence, and adjust to changing ideas about identity, loyalty, and how relationships work. But praise be to God that our Heavenly Father does not leave the definition of love up to us. Actually, God says, hey, Josh, pay attention, dummy. You don't define what love is. This is love. I like the more I understand the Bible, I'm thankful the Bible is written for people who are hard-headed and hard-hearted. Because I read the Bible and say, well, God, just, what is love? Is it to make me feel happy? Because that's what our world says. Is it ever-changing based on my identity and what brings me joy in the immediacy? That's not love. Actually, John plainly says, this is love, that we walk according to his commands. And we should ask, well, what commands? Because as humans, we're always looking for loopholes. Jesus says you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And so then we say, well, who's my neighbor? Because I only have two neighbors. So Jesus, you just say, I need to love them. And he tells a parable of the good Samaritan. This command that John reminds us of is the same command that Jesus gives us at the very twilight of his earthly life. Jesus in John 15 says, this is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. He says, there is no greater love than this, that a man or a woman would lay down their life for their friends. This is true love. True love is loving what God loves and hating what he hates. So let's look at what the Bible loves, and then we'll see what truth is, and then we will figure out how to live this out together. True love, ultimate love, eternal love, is grounded in the gospel. Jesus tells us that. He says, this is love. And there is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for another. Does that sound familiar? No, the Bible says that God did that for us. The God who is love, 1 John 4:8, has shown his love by sending his one and only Son to die for you, to die for me. So if you ask me, well, Pastor, I'm a visual person. I need to see love to believe love and to understand love. How can I see love? Look to Jesus. God is love. So I can't see God. Yes, you can. God took on flesh in the begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That while you were still a sinner, Christ Jesus died. The embodiment is love. Love is in Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't come onto the world just to merely tell you, I love you. He showed you that by dying on the cross. And all true love flows from the gospel fountain. When the Son of God took on flesh, grace put on shoes. Actually, I would say grace put on sandals for us. This is the love of God for us. Because of the gospel, our love now has shape. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:18 says, God is love. 1 John 4:19 then says, we love because God first loved us. And his commands define our love. And we will see shortly. So to love someone is to do what God commands towards them and to help them obey God's word for their life. The most loving thing you can do for me is to help me walk in the truth of God. Because if God created me and he sustains me, then I want to do what the creator of my soul desires me to do. You want to love me well? Tell me what God wants for my life. This is what the Bible says. In any action towards another person that violates God's commands. So let me just speak to my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you do or say anything towards another person that violates God's commands, that is not love. So let me start on an elementary level. God says, do not murder. So if you murder me, you're not loving me. Now, I know how some of you think. Stop it. You cannot murder me. The Bible says it. Don't do it. That is not love. And we would say, well, okay, that's elementary. We all know that. Well, then why are we okay telling white lies to people in the name of soothing their consciences? When the Bible says that we should not lie. And God is not a God of deceit. The most loving thing that we can do for someone is to point them to the Word of God. So no matter how sincere you are, or romantic you are, or think you are, or well-intended, it is not love if it violates the command of God. So if someone says to me, well, if you love me, you will do these things for me, or do these things with me. If what they are asking you to do is violating the commands of God, they are not loving you, they are hating you. And we need to be a people who define our love based upon what God would say is loving. And the inverse is true. Any action that helps someone disobey God, no matter how nice or tolerant you might seem to be, is not love. And this is why the Bible says that loving fellow believers is central to the gospel. Genuine love for truth always produces love for other people. So if you say to me, well, I know a lot about God, I just don't like people, I would say, you don't know a lot about God. Because how can I, church, know about a God who is love and not love you well? But here's the beauty of 2 John. John that says, Pastor, you can love God and love people at the same time. It is our broken world who has made those things mutually exclusive. So I just want you to know, if you think that you are full of God, but you are not full of love, you are not full of God. And I want to be a person, the more I know about the Lord, the bigger my heart grows. I think our heart for Christ should grow with our mind for Christ. In parallel and in consequence together. So let me ask you, as John says, he writes in here later on, he says, I have heard about you following the commands of God, and I rejoice with you. When you see other people walking in the love of God, do you rejoice with them? When's the last time you looked at someone and said, wow, good job. I get joy. When Scott follows Jesus, man, it makes my heart love God more. Because I feel like that's what John is saying. He's saying, I've heard the rumors that you are following Jesus, and do you know what that does to me? Man, I am so proud of you. This is how we should look towards each other. Why would we be a people who are diminishing the joy of others? We should be championing our hearts for Christ. When's the last time that you saw someone else's faithfulness and your heart swell with joy? One of the things that we do in baby dedications here, family dedications, is I say to you who are in the audience, you are committing to be this child's greatest spiritual cheerleader. So that if they do something good behind their parents' back and you see it, you have an obligation to say, hey, Eli, Your dad didn't see you, but I did. I'm not going to tell him, shh, but keep it up. Well done. God loves it when you do those things. And I love it when you do those things. This is what true love looks like. True love rejoices when others walk in truth. Verse 4. And I think lastly, when we ask, what is love? I think there are some of you here today that maybe you're listening online or maybe you'll listen later. You've never experienced true love in your life because you've never received the love of Christ towards you. So that when I talk about love and genuine love and eternal love, you put your hands in your pocket and you would say, I don't know what that's like. Can I just lovingly kind of press into you right now? You can know what genuine love feels like today. If you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And that requires several things. First, it requires you saying no to the man in the mirror. That's not easy. It's to say, God, I've messed up. God, Josh is the sinner. Yes, Pastor James provoked me, but it wasn't his fault. His provocation didn't make me sin. God, I sinned. God, forgive me. Because we live in a world that likes to blame other people for our sins, don't we? And you will never find wholeness in your life if you're pointing the finger at other people. The Christian experience is built on humiliation and humility. That Jesus humiliated himself by taking on flesh and dying on the cross that we might be people of humble birth ourselves. Would you just have the humbleness today to say, God, I'm sorry. I have sinned. Forgive me. And God, I've sinned and I'm angry because I've never experienced your love. And God, I want to do that today. I want to know that. I believe if you prayed that prayer, John would write to you and say, son, daughter, I'm proud of you. I was glad to find some of you leaning in to the love of God for the first time. Lay down your striving, receive his love in Christ, and rise to walk in his commands. And I pray that if you've never experienced the love of anyone before, that today would be the first time in your life that you would leave here saying, someone loves me. God loves me and his people love me because they love him and he is love. And man, I've never met a people who love me for who I am. What's wrong with these people? And we would say it's grace that's wrong with us because that's how God meets us. But if we only love and we have no truth, then love is a fog that can lead to ruin. So the second question we need to ask in John is, what is truth? Well, and some of you are ready, right? Some of you are the hammer. You're like Thor, thinking, okay, I'm about to drop the hammer on someone today. And Pastor's giving me permission. What is truth? John uses the word truth at least 5 times. And we don't know if the John of the Gospel of John is the writer of 2 John. There's some deliberation. Most people believe that the writer of 1 John is the writer of the Gospel of John, but we're not sure if the writer of 2 John is the writer of 1 John, and we're also not sure if the writer of 3 John is the writer of 2 John who's not the writer of 1 John. Exactly. So scholarship would say, for those who are listening at home, a 10-year-old girl summed up what scholars have bled through their pen for decades and generations. What? We don't know who wrote 2 John, but if the writer of 2 John isn't the writer of Gospel of John, is the beloved disciple, then he would have been there when he would hear Pilate say when meeting Jesus. In John 18, verse 38, Pilate looks at Jesus and says, what is truth? And I think it would serve us well to ask that same question for a brief moment. John uses this word truth. Truth is not something that you dig up like buried treasure. Truth is not something that you find on your own. Truth is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Truth is a spiritual endeavor. It is something that God Himself placed in your hands. John 16, 13, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So if you ask, well, what is truth? The Holy Spirit is truth. And Jesus is truth. And it takes residence in the believer's heart and guides them into all truth. Truth is not something you find on your own. It is something that is given to you through the Holy Spirit. Imagine truth in this way. Walking to through a dark place with a friend who has a flashlight or a lantern. And you're walking safely because that friend is guiding you with their light. That's the truth of the Holy Spirit illuminating our path. And the Word of God is like a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. That's how truth works. You and I don't generate truth. We receive it from God Himself, who shines a light on what is real, what is right, and what is good. What is truth? Truth is from God, and it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is truth? Truth is God's standard for your life. 2 John 4 says this. He said, I was glad to find some of your children walking in what? Walking in truth. Truth is not something you know, it's something you do. And again, I'm tired of Christians, I mean, they can define themselves however they want to, Christians with big heads and no hearts. They say, well, I know a lot about God. And John will say, well, Pastor, if you're not walking in truth, you don't know what you think you know. Because the truth of God is to let us walk out His commands. This is God's standard for our lives. Live in step with the Spirit is what the Word of God would say. In a world that defines love by affirming what feels right or what feels in that moment, God's truth is a more beautiful and eternal endeavor. It's a more beautiful and eternal endeavor. And I would just say this lovingly. It doesn't matter what the world defines truth as. The most loving and truthful thing that you can do is not affirm their sinful behavior, but to affirm what God's word says for them. What is truth? It is God's way for your life. And let me just say this. If you are affirming a lie in someone's life that is not truth, it is cruelty. You do not love them. That is cruel. It would be cruel for you to have a heart condition. And I would say, well, you know what? Let me give you a haircut. That's what you need. No, church, God has given us the most beautiful answer for the world's deepest problems. Why would we cruelly ignore greater needs in their life? Truth love is always tethered to the truth of God. Walk in truth. But truth also shapes the soul. John 17, 17 says that the Holy Spirit will sanctify them by the truth. That's what Jesus prays in the garden. He says, Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That means that Jesus is asking God to shape us and mold us into the conformity, into the image of the Lord. Right? Do not be conformed by the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Truth shapes you. Because Jesus shapes us. When the truth gets inside of you, it begins to reshape who you are. It humbles your pride. It softens your bitterness. It purifies your desires. It teaches you to love like Christ. Truth is not just something you know. It's something that makes you and I new. John says, I'm so glad to hear that truth is shaping you, because that is what it does. Truth is also reality according to God. Truth is not up for debate or determined by vote. Truth is the way things are according to an all-knowing God. We don't vote on truth. We receive truth because God has told us what is true. In John 8, Jesus says to his opponents, he says, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. He said, you have seen and you should know truth, because the truth will set you free. Truth is reality according to God. They didn't want reality. They wanted their own version of reality that we know. And Jesus says to embrace truth is to embrace freedom. Freedom that is given by the word of God himself. And John says, hey, church, to the dear lady Bethel and to her children, you can walk in truth and you can walk in love together. What is truth? It's the gospel. It's the gospel that tells us some difficult things about our life. You know, the Bible actually says that you're a sinner. Shock, I know. But there are some that we know we're sinners, but we don't want other people to think that we know we're sinners. I was actually the 10-year-old who just kind of shared and summed up thousands of years of scholarship in one word today. I shared my testimony with her earlier this morning. And I told her, I said, that was one thing that kept me from following Jesus Christ. I grew up in church and I knew that I needed to give my life to Christ, but people in the church thought I was a Christian. And I was worried about what they would think about me when I admitted out loud that I was a sinner. Can I just, if that's you, if you were like me, and if you're worried about what I would think to you today, if you stand up and say, Josh, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus, you know what I'm going to say? Hallelujah. Praise be to God for spiritual conviction in your life. That's a mercy and a kindness from the heavens. But God's word is not easy. It looks at you and I and says, you're the sinner. And by the way, the wages of your sin is death. That you cannot have a relationship with God the way you sit, because you are a dead man walking. But that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And that God loved us in this way, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that son, the only son of God, died on the cross for your sin. Church, if that's true, that's not easy. He did that for you. Truth is the gospel. And I think back in John 18:38. If I could look at Pilate and have this conversation with him, if he said, Pastor, what is truth? As he says to Jesus Christ, I would say, Pilate, truth is right in front of you. You're looking at him. Look to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Pilate, trust in Jesus. Don't just wash your hands and say, I have no culpability. That's not enough. No, Pilate, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and then you can hear, today you will be with me in paradise. It's not enough just to know the truth, but you must follow the truth and walk in his ways. Truth is not an abstract reality for the Christian. Truth is a person. Truth has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. So let me just put this together for you. What is love? God is love. What is truth? Truth is from the fountain that springs from the well of Emmanuel's veins. But John reminds us, he says in verse 7, many deceivers will come out among you. And he says, beware. Now, this is important because John does not categorize these people as innocent. He doesn't say, well, they were trying. Like, they bless their hearts. Like, they had good intentions. No, John says, church, you need to be cautious. Because there are people who will come to you in the name of love, and they are not loving, and they are not truthful. They are ungodly deceivers who have the spirit of the Antichrist. And John then says, there are people who will come in the name of truth, like a hammer without love, and they are not truthful, and they are not loving. Avoid such people. He actually says, don't even bring them to your home. Now, in the ancient world, hospitality means that you are agreeing with what they say. So we didn't have Holiday Inn Expresses then. So if Nathan here was traveling through our city and he had no place to stay and he was a Christian, for me to receive him into my home was saying he is a Christian. He believes what we believe and he loves what we love and he wants to walk according to what we do. And the reason John would say, well, don't receive deceivers is because, I'll be the deceiver. If Nathan lets me in my home and you know that Nathan let me in his home, then you're going to say, Josh believes what we believe. Josh loves what we love. Josh has professed his faith in Jesus Christ and he has given his life fully devoted to the holy things of God. And these deceivers were using hospitality as a tool for ungodliness. John says, church, be careful in people's lives where truth and love are not walking hand in hand. And I don't know about you, but I see a lot of people in our world that claim the word love but have no truth. Avoid those people. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who claim truth. And they are doctrinally sound, but they are spiritually starving. Those are deceivers. And one of the books I like to read is The Chronicles of Narnia because I'm a child at heart. I like reading kids' books because I feel good about myself. I can read them really fast. I'm like, look how smart I am. I read 20 pages on a first grade level. But in Narnia, you know, when the white witch takes control, the whole land turns cold. And one thing that's said in that, just that difficult place, it says it's always winter, never Christmas. There's no heart. There's no warmth. There's no love. And for those of you who know the book, when Aslan, who represents Christ, gets close, everything that was cold begins to thaw. And that's what grace does in our life. The cold, calloused, dark places in our life begin to thaw. Winter finds its thaw for the first time. And this is what Jesus Christ embodies. Truth in Jesus stands like a rock, steady, unshakable, eternal. And love flows like a river, warm, deep, and life-giving. And let me just share with you, truth without love may diagnose your wound, but it can't heal you. And love without truth, it might feel gentle, but it can't save you. Only in Christ, when we have truth and love walking hand in hand, that our wounds are bound and our greatest needs satisfied. What does your life look like today? What would it look like if grace put on shoes? Maybe you're cold. And you worship, but you worship with a distant heart. Would you let the gospel thaw the frozen places today? maybe you tend towards the low side and you're quick to embrace, but you're, don't talk to me about the word of God. That's just too much. It's a sad place to be if we're all heart and no brains. Would you ask the Lord to help you love and think deeply about your faith again? This is what we need. Let me just speak plainly to some of you. If your life has been a hammer lately, if you're pounding on people and you're not loving them well, would you ask God to convict you? Because you can't hammer on someone's life enough to save them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Maybe at some point this week you need to call on someone and say, I've been too rough with you, I'm sorry. I was harsh because I loved you, but you didn't hear my love because you only heard my words. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Because in my Jesus, love and truth walk hand in hand. And maybe you need to call someone this week and say, I've been tolerating your sin and I'm sorry. I've been doing that in the name of love, but I am not loving you. Actually, I'm causing your ruin, causing your spiritual death, and I need to speak into your life what the Bible says is true. I can't be hospitable this week to you. You can't stay with me because you're not walking according to the word. Would you ask for the conviction of the Spirit in your life? And lastly, maybe you've never received the love of God ever. You're living in coldness, you're living in winter, and it's never Christmas. I pray today that the Holy Spirit will get close enough to you that you'll feel the warmth of Christ again. And if you've never given your life to Christ, I pray conviction on your life that you would not leave here in sin, that you would run to faith. If you say, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. I want to follow Christ. I believe that God sent his only son. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose again, but I don't know how to come to faith. What words do I need to pray? I got you. You can pray a prayer like this. Father, I have sinned. That's ownership. Thank you for sending your only son, Jesus, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross, to rise again. Lord, I don't deserve it, but you did it. Thank you. And Father, today I will turn from my sin. I will turn to you no matter the cost. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And my deepest prayer for you today is that for the first time you will find truth and love walking side by side in God made flesh, Jesus Christ, the only begotten. And may we hear from the Lord one day, well done, I'm proud of you. I saw you living for me, well done. Good and faithful servant. Father,